Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Man, we barely scratched the surface. Talked about some of the big storylines around the NFL Week 9 and, of course, picked apart Tennessee and Kansas City. That was your choice for After Hours Game of the Week. But we've got so many other compelling finishes and odd, strange developments from Sunday Week 9. Plus, the Major League Baseball season is officially over. It took until the first weekend in November. Oh my goodness. It was the same night as we saw the end of daylight savings time. That was weird. But yes, on Saturday night, thankfully, we were able to turn the clocks back because after staying up late for LSU, Alabama, and then game 6 of the World Series, I felt like I needed that extra hour just to get back to the 7 hours of sleep before we get up early. The pets did not care. The cat was walking on my head at 5:15 in the morning. She had zero cares in the world about being up early, of course. And the dog was soon after that, though she generally falls back asleep after I tell her to. You don't have to tell Penny to go back to sleep more than once. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Hope that you enjoyed the weekend. And if there was good weather in your area, you were able to get outside and take it in, some sunshine, some, let's see, fresh air and some activity. How about that? I did a hike on Saturday with a group of strangers. And I had this moment. So I was driving. I was the carpool designated driver, which was fine. I'd rather drive. If I'm going with people I don't know, I need to be in control and have my car keys and my car available. But I get halfway to our mountain and I have this moment because I feel like I don't have my phone. It's not in my lap. It's not in the well of Princess Leia. It's not on my dashboard. It's nowhere. I have no idea where it is. And I think, oh my gosh, are you really about to go hiking in the wilderness with a group of strangers and you do not have your phone? Okay, Amy, not your best move ever. But I had been in a big hurry to get out the door because they showed up at my house. It was not the one person I was expecting. It was two people. They asked to come inside. I wasn't expecting that. The dog wouldn't come inside. So it was just, it was the last kind of few frenetic moments before I got into the car, or got out of the house and got into the car. And we get to where we're going. I'm trying not to have a panic attack over being in the middle of the wilderness with no phone, with a bunch of strangers, and wondering if I'm ever coming out again. And I open up my backpack to put my keys away, and lo and behold, there is my phone. Whew, okay. I'm fine. I'm good. Now, it wasn't too much longer. We were on the trail maybe 30 minutes later. The phone could not save me from falling on my rear end. My boot slipped on what was a wet rock. It was hard to see, kind of the dew and some light rain. So my boot slipped out from underneath me, and I landed on my rear end. But better than my hip or my tailbone or an elbow. Yeah, if I'm going to land on something, the butt is the right place to land. It's a built-in padding. So I survived the embarrassment of that and also survived hiking with 7 other strangers. It was good. It was gorgeous weather. It was hot, actually, and humid, but really nice hike and some pretty pictures. I didn't put anything up, but that was my activity. The rest was sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. Well, if we're going to talk about Patrick Mahomes and a vintage late game drive where he comes up with all these creative ways to dazzle us and also spark his team to victory, I suppose we should do that with Tom Brady, right? Except we have not seen much of vintage Tom Brady at all this season, and something had to break in a game between the Rams and the Buccaneers in Tampa. Now, this is a rematch, actually, of last year's divisional playoff game that went down to the wire. And so these two teams really scuffling offensively, hoping that they would find a tune-up against the other. Maybe a little spark, maybe a little life. Except the defenses are also really good. And so it did not turn into that. It didn't turn into one of those games where you feel like you finally settled into a rhythm and a groove as an offense. Still, though, somebody had to win. And both teams were in desperate need of a W in this game. In the first half, a single touchdown. Just one. That's it. They're pretty stingy when it comes to their points these days.
Cam Akers split out at receiver. Wide is to the left. High snap Stafford. He spears it. Throws down the seam. Cooper Kupp at the tip of a 40. Now the 20. Right side 10. 5. Touchdown, Cooper Kupp. Touchdown, L.A. 69 yards down the seam.
Oh, 69 yards and Cooper Kupp, he gone. He found an opening in the seam. Found a nice spot where he could turn, catch the ball coming from Matthew Stafford, and then there was nobody who was going to be able to corral him, nobody who had an angle. There may have been one defender who was at least flush with him, but there was no way to catch Cooper Kupp. J.B. Long on Rams radio. So Tampa Bay is trailing 7-6 at the half. Yep. Definitely one of those highlight reel defensive games. The Buccaneers have a myriad of punts, a bunch of them three and outs. They have a blocked field goal and only 9 points on the board. So no touchdowns, only 9 points via field goals. Ryan Succop might be the MVP of the Buccaneers to this point in the season. Empty possessions all over the place until late in the fourth quarter. This is the game that was on CBS. So Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, and they're talking about how these are the situations where no matter what we've seen from Brady this season, you have to expect that this is his comfort zone and there's always the chance. But I'll be honest, lately, my hope has faded for these late game situations with Tom Brady, with Aaron Rodgers. We just haven't seen them. And their offenses. It's not just them. Tom Brady is constantly under siege. The number of throws he's hurrying on a weekly basis, it's pretty astounding. You can point to that offensive line and know that it's a work in progress at best. And did you see the number of dropped passes in this game between the Bucs and the Rams? At last count, there were 7. And we're not talking about new guys. We're not talking about rookies. We're talking about Mike Evans, who was so angry at himself. Chris Godwin, who was so frustrated at himself. So to blame Tom Brady is a little bit ridiculous. It's certainly a problem for the offense and the team as a whole. And they're searching for something, anything to get them on track. But the number of people who are blaming Tom Brady and saying he's too old and should retire, you're just not paying attention. Brady is still playing high quality football. Most of the time. Is he off here and there? Yeah. But is Brady like some young quarterback who's just flinging the ball around with no knowledge of what's happening or carelessly? He doesn't turn the ball over a ton still. He's one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL easily, even at this age and even with this record. And so I was still hoping we were going to see something from these Buccaneers in the late stages. It's 13-9 LA after a three and out. 44 seconds. Why don't we ratchet up the degree of difficulty? Oh, P.S. The Buccaneers fans were booing through a good portion of this game. Right? So they weren't having it either. They were having a hard time holding on to any type of faith or light. But it was the Cade Otton drive, actually, a rookie, Kate Otten, one of their tight end options who's trying to fill that void left in the wake of the retirement by Rob Gronkowski. And you could see early on that Brady is finally in his element in this drive. Four completed passes. He's working the sidelines brilliantly. Now, I imagine the Rams were giving him that. They didn't want to give up anything over the middle, except he was pinpoint accuracy. The timing was near perfect. And after a pass interference, they were close and they were late.
First and goal. Brady in the shotgun. Otten stiff to the right side. Evans wide to the left. Here's the snap. In play action fake. Pass to the right side. Caught ball. Touchdown Tampa Bay. Buccaneers take the lead with 9 seconds. Kate Otten. Fire the cannons. Fire the cannons. Fire them again.
Faking the run we've seen so many times down here on the goal line to Fournette. He sticks it out there. Brady rolls to his right. Kate Otten blocks down and then comes out flat. Tom Brady gets it to him, and he's able to lean up and get in the end zone.
Cade Otten, welcome to the NFL rookie. Gene Deckerhoff with the Bucs play-by-play on their radio network. Yeah, he had the first catch of that drive as well, 28 yards. And so Brady finally settles in, and his receivers do their jobs as well. And if you were watching this game, I hope that you were. They score with 9 seconds to go, and you would have thought they had just won that playoff game against the Rams going back to last winter. The celebration on the sidelines, wow, it erupts. There's joy. There's relief. There are these humongous bro hugs. Actually, forget bro hugs. They're like actual hugs. They're like girl hugs. They're huge embraces. They're the kind of hugs that I give my girlfriends. Those hugs, that celebration, the joy, it painted a picture of how frustrating this time has been for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 55th game-winning drive of Tom Brady's career. Oh, by the way, it was the only score in the red zone. The Rams and the Buccaneers were combined 1-for-5 in the red zone.
That was awesome. That was f***ing awesome. It's all about the win, so it's all about the win, man.
It's joyous. We won. We hadn't won in a couple weeks, you know. I was happy to get a win. It was a hard-fought game. It was complimentary football. It was a team win. You know, it's a lot easier to fly overseas after you win a game than lose a game, so we just got to start putting them together.
We just had to do it, you know. There wasn't really an option. I don't know. It was just determination, I feel like. It was, you know, everyone knew what they had to do. Everyone had to know they had to do their assignment, you know, for us to be successful, and we just had to go execute.
It's just so different after a win. It's not like they figured it all out. It's not like all of a sudden they've exercised all these demons or the offensive line is going to be fantastic. You hear Tristan Wirfs. We were not losing this game. But to work on your offense, your timing, your rhythm, to figure out what's gone wrong, what's going wrong, to work out the kinks, oh man, so much easier, so much more pleasant when it's coming off of a win. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Cade Otten, the rookie who had the drive along with Tom Brady. Fantastic moment for him in front of the Bucs fans at Raymond James Stadium.
The receivers outside of me did a great job getting me open. The O-line and running back slowed run, and then Tom delivered the ball. So everyone did their job, and that was the result.
We needed it. We needed it. We got it. We fought to the end. Defense played great, made some plays offensively. You know, I know we left a few out there, but it's a team's tough team. So got some great players. Glad we won.
Yeah, his Let's Go podcast on Monday is going to be fire. So good for the Bucs. I was waiting for this. I know a lot of us were waiting for this. Still haven't gotten it with Aaron Rodgers. We'll get to Rodgers and some of the other frustrated QBs. Even Josh Allen was smashing the kicking net with his helmet on Sunday and talking about how the Bills can't win with a quarterback playing like a word that I can't say on the radio. But finally, we see one of these high-profile quarterbacks and teams come through with a game-winning drive, right? So I've been waiting for it with the Rams, with the Packers, certainly with the Buccaneers. It must feel like the 1,000-pound gorilla has been lifted off their backs. But that's not the case for Sean McVay and the Los Angeles Rams.
we're going to stay connected throughout this, but we do have to be able to look inward and figure out what are some of the solutions, changes, adjustments, different things that we have to do to be able to get different results and different production from our offense.
It's not a shortage of effort, but at some point, how much more effort can you give? You got to change something. You got to find a way to be efficient and score points. It's just frustrating, but it is a loss, and you have to be able to move forward. You got to be able to get back to work and find a way to right the ship.
Cooper Kupp, the highlight for the Los Angeles Rams, eight catches. This is my shorthand. 8 for 127. 8 catches, 127 yards, and the long score that is the only touchdown for the Rams. The Super Bowl champions, they fall to 3-5 on the season. They're now third place in the NFC West. Here's the deal with the NFC. It's mediocre at best. You've got your really good teams at the top. Five, would you say five good teams? I guess we could say five good teams, right? Minnesota? Maybe. No, we should include Seattle. Seattle, Minnesota, Philadelphia, Dallas, the New York Giants. Those are your five good teams. Teams that have at least 6 wins. Outside of those teams, you guys, nobody else is above 500. That's the NFC right now. Five teams with winning records, nobody else above 500. Ew. And so because of that, all of these teams that have 3 wins, that have 4 wins, that includes the Commanders. It includes the Falcons, to be sure. It includes the Niners. It includes the Packers. All of these teams still have a shot at wild cards because we have half the season to go. Maybe we're not talking about the Commanders winning the division or the Packers rallying to earn the North. A little humble pie there for Aaron Rodgers, who said he owned the division for the last 8 years, not to mention all the teams in it. But right now, the Falcons and the Bucks are tied atop the NFC South with a 4-5 record. Okay. Plenty of real estate to go. All right, straight ahead. What about Aaron Rodgers and those Green Bay Packers in Detroit? Lots of you posting on my Facebook page that this would be the tonic. This would be the elixir that the Packers needed to get back on track. Don't! Also, Josh Allen, why is he frustrated? Maybe because the Bills haven't beat a team in the AFC East yet? I'm spitballing here. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We'll have our poll up. Who's most mortified, miserable on Monday? I have to growl it. It just doesn't sound the same if I say it in my normally happy voice. I don't know if I sound happy. I sound energetic. I'll give you that.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Find your perfect fall suit with Indochino. Customize every detail of their seasonal designs for a one-of-a-kind look at a great price. And get $50 off purchases of $399 or more at Indochino.com. Promo code FALLUPDATE.
Also on our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Rodgers takes play action, dumps it off left side of Bakhtiari. It's intercepted. Intercepted in the end zone by Aiden Hutchinson. They were going for Bakhtiari on the left side, and Hutchinson at 6'7", reached up and made the pick. Second interception for Rodgers today.
Green Bay's going to go empty here on second down and 10 from the Lion 23. Rodgers going to work out of the gun. Aaron Jones splits out wide right. Lions show four across the front, two deep safeties. Rodgers leans in. There's the snap. He's back. Rodgers looking, throws deep middle. Picked off by the Lions. Coming back the other way. Kirby Joseph again. How about that rookie? He is something else. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
We could really stop right there, and you could take from this Packers-Lions game all you need to know: a pair of red zone interceptions by Aaron Rodgers and a third interception late in the game. And so because of that, not only do the Packers come up with very few points, not even double digits, but they also go 0-for-4 in the red zone. Rodgers is screaming and yelling on the sidelines like you do not often see him. He looked more like Tom Brady. Now, he wasn't necessarily yelling at people. For the most part, he was just screaming. It seemed like most of the Packers were giving him plenty of space and were keeping their distance because he was yelling F-bombs and everything else that you can imagine if you can read lips. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So, yes, a pair of red zone interceptions in the first half. They're trailing 8-0 to Detroit at the break. And then later on, not only do they have a hard time keeping track of the football, there's a couple of fumbles that they nearly lose. It's just a total mess. They don't have any points until the third quarter, and you've got yet another interception by Rodgers.
Kid made a nice one down the middle, but the other two, you know, I probably should have just checked out of that play and hand the ball off or adjusted the route in the first one. And then, I just was a little off balance and threw a bad one to Dave in the back.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Wayne Larrivee on Packers Radio, Dan Miller on Detroit Lions Radio, and Dan is one of our favorites, so it's always good when we have the opportunity to give highlights and put them out here on the show. Detroit responds after the Green Bay Packers finally get on the board. So again, they don't have anything up, not a field goal, not a safety, nothing until the middle of the third quarter when finally Rodgers directs a scoring drive and Alan Lazard hauls in a 20-yard catch. But Detroit responds and takes the ball away from Aaron Rodgers, any momentum they might have had. The Lions keep the ball for 5 minutes. It's a 13-play drive with a healthy dose of Jamal Williams. That may have been intentional. I know that DeAndre Swift, they're still trying to work him back into the offense, but it's a lot of Jamal Williams to employ the ball control, and ultimately they get a good look.
Big play right here. Let's see what Ben Johnson dials up. Third and goal from the 3 for the Lions. Goff empty out of the gun. He's got it back. Looks. Throws. End zone. Caught. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. James Mitchell, hey rookie, welcome to Detroit. That's your first NFL touchdown. Oh, boy, did they need that.
The fact that he had so much time to look, according to Dan Miller, would indicate really that there wasn't much of a pass rush or not a successful pass rush on that particular snap. Also, there were no sacks of Jared Goff, and so they weren't able to get to him to knock him down. He was able to stand back there in the pocket. You may or may not think highly of Jared Goff as a quarterback. I know that he is a mixed bag a lot of the times. I mean, he can look tremendous and he can look terrible. And sometimes it can be on the same drive. But if you give him time to throw, he's still an NFL quarterback. And he did have time to throw. And you hear the touchdown to pad the lead there. Made it 15-6. Ew.
Looks.
Dan Miller on Lions Radio. So it was 15-9 when Green Bay tags on another field goal. Oi, sometimes it's so painful. I feel like yelling, my eyes, or just covering up my eyes because it can be really gross. And the Lions have had a lot of pretty sweet offense. Remember, for the first, 5 weeks, they were leading the NFL in points per game. So their offense can be good. It's just their defense can be terrible. Well, in this particular game, it was actually the exact opposite. So Green Bay pulls within 15-9. The Lions try to run out the clock, and they end up ultimately with a fourth down. So they go for it on fourth down, which is interesting in and of itself, right? That Dan Campbell decides they'd rather not give it back to Aaron Rodgers, even though it's been bad. And they try to pick up the first down, but it's an incomplete pass by Jared Goff on fourth down. So with 2 minutes to go, in fact, the Packers do have the ball back. It's their last chance. And this drive just blew me away. Twice they fumble. They managed to keep possession. Why? Because both of them are touched by Detroit players while they're out of bounds. I mean, it's not like they fumbled and fell on it. No, they're like the Bad News Bears on this last drive. They fumble and they only managed to keep it because Detroit doesn't have possession as a toe is on the sideline, yada, yada. And one of them, they really had to go back and look at it to be sure that Detroit didn't have possession. And so it was a mess. Four incomplete passes from the 17-yard line. Four of them. That doesn't sound like Aaron Rodgers.
One play, fellas. One play. Fourth and 10, Packers trailing the Lions by 6 from the Lions 17. Rodgers is going to work out of the gun. This building is alive.
The clock's at zero again.
Rodgers back. He's got it. Looking. Pressure. Throws it up for grabs in the end zone.
Incomplete.
Ball game over. Boys, let's get out of here.
Wait, that's
four-game
your
losing streak over, and man, did this team need that.
I'm proud of them. I just gave the game ball to AG. It's a hell of a job, man. Coaches his heart out, and you know, he put everything into it as he always does, and those guys responded. We knew we needed takeaways today. A minimum of two is what we talked about, and Kirby Joseph came up big. Hutch got one, but as a whole, that defense, man, they rose up, and you know, I thought we played aggressive. I did think we challenged on the perimeter. Look, some of the plays that they made, we were in the fight, and that's all you can ask for. We're in it. So, all right, they made a play, but I felt like, man, we made them go the hard way, the long hard way, and we were able to sustain.
They definitely did do it the long hard way, though the Lions didn't always make it look pretty either. I love that Dan Miller's call is, let's get out of here, let's go home. Maybe they just don't want to be in the building anymore. It can be a house of horrors at times. It's After Hours, CBS
Boys,
Sports
let's
Radio.
Get out of here.
Dan Campbell was asked how he'll celebrate this win.
I'll be honest with you, I'm exhausted. So, like, I just, you know, I want to go home, put the feet up, drink a beer, and just, you know, so it feels real good. I'm just proud of them. I really am. I'm proud of our coaches. I'm proud of the players. I'm proud of everybody.
I'm so proud of these guys, man. It's so hard, and
so proud.
You guys don't make it any easier, certainly. But it's so hard to continue to do that, and we just do. We'll never lay down, and I know there's teams across this league that will, and we're not one of them.
Obviously, extremely disappointed right now. I thought our defense battled and did a really good job. This is an offense that I want to say in the last seven games have scored 27 plus in this building. So, you know, to not take advantage of that performance is certainly disappointing. You know, just too many mistakes. Turnovers, obviously not scoring the first two times in the red zone. And then penalties at really inopportune times. And the only way we can get through that, we got to stop doing those things that are really hurting us.
Well, there's many of those. There's plenty of misery to go around. I'm certain the Packers are going to get a healthy number of votes in our Mortified Monday poll. So we'll get that up before we hit the top of the hour. Rodgers was told by a reporter that he looks miserable on the field sometimes.
I think that's an exaggeration. Frustration and miserability are two different emotions. So when I decided to come back, it was all in, and I don't make decisions and then, you know, hindsight 2020, you know, have regrets about big decisions like that. So I was all in, and this is a lot of life lessons for sure this year. But luckily it's not over. There's still a lot of games left. We'll be counted out probably by many, and we'll see how we respond.
Miserability is not a word I've ever used before. Obviously, miserable is one we use on a regular basis. Here's the definition of miserable, just so you know. Wretchedly unhappy, uneasy, or uncomfortable. Miserability in the Urban Dictionary is the state of being in extreme discomfort or excruciating pain. Right. That seems to describe one Aaron Rodgers. He was also asked if he regretted returning, if he regretted not retiring, which I think is a, I understand why reporters do what they do most of the time. I think that's just a ridiculous question. I mean, what did you expect him to say? Yes. In fact, I think I'll retire right now.
It's just not going to happen, man.
That's the similar question that reporters asked Tom Brady a couple of weeks ago. Was he considering potentially retiring? Yes, right in the middle of the bleeping season, I'm going to walk away. Oh my gosh, do you guys not pay attention at all to the guys that you're covering? They're too stubborn to do anything like that. And Rodgers obviously isn't happy, at least on the field. We'll hear from him coming up this week. He's got to bear some responsibility. And the jokes were all over social media because he recently, 2 weeks ago, said that if guys weren't doing the job, they should put other guys on the field that would, or give other guys a shot. And do you know who was trending on Sunday afternoon while the Packers were sucking? Jordan Love. There were thousands and thousands and thousands of tweets calling for Jordan Love to replace Aaron Rodgers. I obviously don't think the Packers pay attention to that, but Rodgers was a big part of the problem on Sunday. It's not other guys. Not today. It was Rodgers. And he sets the tone, which means that as he goes, so go the Packers. It's been that way since 2008. First five-game losing skid since he took over as the starter for Green Bay. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, Bills and Jets, Patriots with that down and dirty defense. The AFC East is a bear. When do we get to Dolphins and Chicago?
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back with our awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Find your perfect fall suit with Indochino. Customize every detail of their seasonal designs for a one-of-a-kind look at a great price. And get $50 off purchases of $399 or more at Indochino.com. Promo code FALLUPDATE.
I didn't even mean to do that. Where do we get to Dolphins and Bears?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
third down tries. Now the snap to Josh. Going to keep it and run on himself. Left side has a first down and more. Gets inside the 20, inside the 15, headed to the end zone, and he is in. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen just ran it in from 39 yards out. Wow.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This was a very close runner-up for the After Hours game of the week. Probably wouldn't have been in, say, the last 5 years or so, or even going back the last 10 years. And yet, because of the AFC East, the strength of the AFC East, and the fact that the Bills right now, along with the Chiefs, are the team to beat in that conference, this was a game at MetLife Stadium where the fans were fired up to see Josh Allen, to see if Zach Wilson and the Jets offense could recover from last week's abysmal performance against the Patriots when he threw three interceptions or three completions to the other team. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So as you hear with John Murphy on Bills Radio, Buffalo starts out strong. Well, I take that back. Buffalo actually started with an interception. So Josh Allen gets intercepted by Jordan Whitehead, and the first half starts that way and then ends with a missed field goal. Okay, so they bookended it with miserable plays that they would like back. But the first touchdown comes at the end of a nearly 8 minute drive. So after he throws that first pick, well, then Josh Allen settles in. He's got a 1 yard rushing touchdown. And then his second rushing touchdown of that opening half goes 35 yards in the second quarter. I love the way that the Jets responded to everything that the Bills threw at them, right? So intercepting him on the opening drive was humongous because it got the crowd whipped into a frenzy. The defense was able to give the ball back to the Jets offense. I mean, it's huge to be able to start like that as opposed to starting with this huge long drive from the Buffalo Bills that then gets their fans in attendance all riled up and loud and puts the Jets back on their heels. So, yes, there were two Josh Allen rushing touchdowns in that first half, but New York was able to respond every time. After that 35-yarder that you hear on Bills radio, the Jets have their own six-minute drive, and Michael Carter gets into the end zone. What is this, a little game of anything you can do, we can do better? So it's 14-10 Buffalo at the break. Now, I wonder if there were people who were thinking, here we go again, when Zach Wilson had a sack and a fumble in the red zone early in the third quarter. Although I saw plenty of Jets fans who were blaming Skycam, almost as though it was a conspiracy to make sure that the Bills would win because there was a wire that malfunctioned and the Skycam essentially hit the field. It was a 12-minute delay. There's one woman who was a scout with the Jets a long time ago, first female scout in NFL history. Her name is Connie, and she's awesome. She also is a passionate Jets fan. She actually said the person, she said, who's getting fired for this? Well, a wire broke, so I don't know if anyone's getting fired for it, but this is what happens when you are a Jets fan and you are trying to turn the corner and put together a new culture and get some wins. Anyway, I hope no one got fired for a wire that malfunctioned, but it was a 12-minute delay and the Jets had been moving the ball to that point. And then once they get back on the field, the drive ends with Zach Wilson's turnover in the red zone. But then Josh Allen makes his own mistake, right? And so I feel like the give and take of this, the toe-to-toe element, maybe the Jets are not as good a team overall as the Buffalo Bills, but the fact that they were able to take a punch and punch back, it was actually a fight, not a walkover. That was really important for the New York Jets, for them to be able to match the Bills.
James Robinson, the setback to the right of Zach Wilson in the shotgun. Two receivers to either side. Berrios in motion.
First and goal at the 7. Back to throw, Zach Wilson. Screen right. Caught. Robinson at the 10. At the 5. Reaches the ball out. He's across the goal line. And it's a Jet touchdown. The Jets have the lead with 4:03 to go in the third.
Yes, sir. Take a turnover. Turn it into points.
That's Bob with Schusen and Company on Jets Radio. So, yes, after the second Josh Allen interception, New York is instantly in the red zone, and the new running back, James Robinson, hauls in a 7-yard catch for the score, 17-14 at that point. And on the last two drives, we saw the Jets go heavy on the rush. We saw the Jets start to use the ball control. Why? Well, because you don't want to give it back to Josh Allen. That's fairly obvious. New York goes 13 plays, 86 yards, 6 minutes. It's kind of what we saw with the Bills on their first scoring drive. And again, heavy on the rush to be able to milk as much time off the clock as possible.
From 28 yards out to give the Jets the lead. Minute 45 on the clock, out of the hold. Braden Mann. The snap high, the placement down, the kick is up, and it is down the middle and good. What a job by Braden Mann to pull down a high snap and get it set for Zerline, who puts it through. 1:43 to go in the game. Jets lead by 3, 4th and 21. As Allen drops back to throw at his own 5-yard line, scrambling to his left, buying time, looking downfield. Heaves a bomb for Davis. Sauce Gardner's there. It's knocked away. Sauce Gardner in position on Gabe Davis. Knocks it away. And the Jets are going to take a knee and win it here at MetLife Stadium.
Bob was Schusen so fired up, he nearly knocks them off the air as Sauce Gardner is knocking that ball away from Josh Allen's intended target. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Yes, to see Sauce Gardner in the middle of everything was huge. As a rookie, he brings swagger to the Jets, and that's what they need, right? The Bills have it in the form of Josh Allen and a couple of other players, Stephon Diggs, to be sure. This is what the Jets need. This is a culture-building win for Robert Saleh and the Jets. I loved the tenacity. I loved the fight. I loved that they were not backing down. Regardless of what the Bills were able to do, they had an answer, and they hung tough. And ultimately, they come away with a W.
The fact that we just beat, I believe they're the number one ranked team in the NFL, you know, it's a blessing, man. But at the end of the day, we all believed in each other. We believed in the coaches. They believed in us. So there was no doubt in our mind that we was going to be able to hang with those guys.
It's a hard-fought game. It's a damn good football team, a well-coached football team over there. Buffalo, obviously, they've got championship aspirations. But I don't think there's a guy in that locker room that didn't think we couldn't win.
We expected to win this game as a team. You know, of course, we understand this is a good team. We understand what they're all about, but we understand what we're about as well. So the mindset is that we should be able to go in there and compete. And we knew it was going to be close. Of course, we got to be able to finish in crunch time, and I think we did that.
Sauce Gardner, Robert Saleh, said, "We expected this. Of course you did." I don't think Bob Wischusen did, or the rest of the football viewing public. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So no turnovers for Zach Wilson, which was really the big deal. 154 yards and one touchdown for him. And then the fact that he was able to take care of the football was humongous. As for Josh Allen, the two interceptions, he does have two rushing touchdowns, but he was ticked off at himself after the game.
Our defense goes out there, they strain their tails off, get us a, you know, turnover in the red zone, and I get right back. That's something, you know, I can't do.
To me, he can't do no wrong. You know what I'm saying? Of course, he's going to be harder than himself. So from my lens, it's like we can do some things better. But farm your own land. It starts with you. We're 1-11. I got to do my job the best way I can, and, you know, I start there.
Can make or break you. Good thing is everything that we still want's in front of us, and we'll have to put our foot forward and put our head down, continue to work hard, and have a good week of practice and get ready for the next one.
So Josh Allen says after the game that it's tough to win when your quarterback plays like bleep. And he meant him, obviously. The way that he was, I mean, he reminded me more of Aaron Rodgers on this Sunday. The way that Aaron was like screaming and yelling and Josh Allen was doing the same. He was slamming his helmet into the kicking net. I mean, he was really frustrated, but that intensity obviously sets a tone for his team as well. So they lose and they're over inside the AFC East, but maybe there's no shame in that, considering that the AFC East does have the best collective record in football right now. No teams below 500. Patriots getting their second win in a row. The Dolphins have won three straight since Tua Tagovailoa returned. We'll get to those games coming up next. We're halfway through. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or opossums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back with our awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
On November 13th, it's the dawning of a new era when the NFL debuts in Germany, live on NFL Network. Brady and the Bucs.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
DK and the Seahawks.
Puts the ball up, making the catch! Oh!
Wake up and watch with the world. It's Sunday Morning Football, live from Munich. Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern, only on NFL Network.